The mission of the coalition forces in Libya becomes clearer. Maybe. President Obama spoke to reporters in Chile.
I also have stated that it is U.S. policy that Gaddafi needs to go.
So the U.S. and other allies are hoping to defeat Gaddafi and bring about regime change, right? Not so fast. The American commander of coalition operations says he's not there to help the rebels overthrow the government.
We have no mission to support opposition forces if they should engage in offensive operations.
Okay, so let me get this straight. It is our stated policy that Gaddafi must step down. We're bombing his army, but we're somehow not attacking him? Diplomatic doublespeak and military smack talk. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, March 22nd.
With a little lack of clarity on that Libyan mission, let's check the morning's top news stories. We start with an update on the assault in Libya. The noose is tightening, but are they going to actually carry out the execution of the leader of Libya? General Carter Ham, the commander of coalition operations in Libya, says the allies are almost done knocking out Gaddafi's air defense systems and establishing that no-fly zone.
With the growing capabilities of the coalition, I anticipate the no-fly zone will soon extend to Brega, Misrata, and then to Tripoli. That's about 1,000 kilometers, so it's a pretty wide area.
This morning, the allies bombed two naval stations in Tripoli. And speaking in Chile, President Obama says he expects someone else to be in charge, not of Libya, but of the Libyan no-fly zone very soon.
We anticipate this transition to take place in a matter of days and not a matter of weeks.
But there's some confusion in Europe this morning over who will step up and fill the leadership void there in the coalition. On the ground, Gaddafi's forces continue their siege of the western city of Misrata and are now attacking Zintan near the Tunisian border. And there are growing fears of a stalemate. U.S. officials say the rebels lack a command and control structure to be truly effective.
In Yemen this morning, President Ali Saleh announced he will step down at the end of the year, but vowed not to hand over control to the military. The Republican Guard and Special Forces remain loyal to him after mass army and government defections yesterday. This protester in Sana'a tells the BBC the situation in the main square is volatile.
Now, in the protest, there are more than 300,000 people there protesting, and a consequence of any clash could be deadly and bloody.
In Syria, anti-government protests have spread to three southern cities. Security forces appear to be pulling back for the moment after putting down recent protests with live fire. Now to Japan. A nuclear safety official there says a storage pool at the troubled nuclear plant is heating up with temperatures near the boiling point. That's happening in Reactor 2. If water in the pool evaporates and exposes the fuel rods, more radiation would be thrown off. Power is now being funneled to all six damaged reactors, but many of the water cooling pumps were damaged by the earthquake and the tsunami. It's unclear how long it'll take workers to get them up and running again.
Concern over nuclear food contamination is expanding beyond Japan's borders. Radiation was now found in the seawater near the Fukushima plant, and officials are testing seafood. Japan's chief cabinet secretary, Yukio Edeno, says all milk, spinach, and other vegetables have been banned from the Fukushima prefecture.
Levels that exceed the provisional standards set by the government has been observed. However, these also are not levels that will immediately harm human health.
The death toll, meanwhile, in the tsunami zone has risen to more than 9,000, with over 12,000 people still reported missing.
Looking at the markets, the Dow starts at 12,036. The S&P will open at 1,298. The NASDAQ at 2,692. Later this morning, more stories of survivors and recovery in Japan. BBC reporter Damian Grammaticus has been filing incredible stories from on the ground. We'll hear his latest in an hour. But first, we'll go to an update on Libya with our ears open for the answer for an important question.
My name is David. I'm calling from Minneapolis. What is it that gives the rebels in Libya the mandate to rule the entire country?
We're going to try and answer that question for you with David Kirkpatrick of the New York Times at 877-8MY-TAKE.
Call on me.
Oh, yeah? You know the answer?
Defeating Gaddafi?
No.
That would be the mandate to run the country.
Maybe.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.